Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAPrepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAPrepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepares. This hour, I'll be broadcasting with a very dear friend of almost 50 years. Welcome, Bert. Bert Bertonis.
Hello, Vin. Happy holidays.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice. And so, Bert, this hour, this will be the second time that you'll be interviewing me. I'm not exactly sure what you're going to be asking me, but here I am. And let me just say, class, for those of you who are new to the class, Bert Bertonis is a radio frequency engineer. He's an electronics engineer. He's designed all kinds of really neat circuits. And he has patents on some of them. Bert, I've got just noticed that Gwyneth Isaacs is calling in from Australia. Let's just take this call very quickly. Gwyneth, welcome. You're on with Bert Bertonis.
Hi. Sorry, this is not particularly related to electronics, but it is important. The president in the last day or two had a press conference, and it wasn't widely reported. It was about 45 minutes long, and it basically said if this whole election situation wasn't sorted out, that he would go the route of martial law. So I this has not really left the inside of me since I heard him say that. And I thought that I haven't heard anybody else really speak about it. Alex Jones mentioned it in passing, but he didn't really, you know, dwell on it either. You know, so that I think the rest of the class needs to take this as a massive heads up that even if, you know, even if Trump successfully or, you know, even if he challenges the electoral results, that this has the potential to go south very, very quickly. And, you know, I'm not against, you know, Republicans in the United States certainly rather deal with them than Democrats. But people need to not clap like trained seals when their team captain proposes such a draconian measure. That's just what I'd like to say.
I got a call. Gwyneth, I appreciate you calling in with that that news flash. Rich Sheban called me and quite alarmed yesterday afternoon with exactly the same news.
Yeah.
And he was going to call in with just as you, and both of you are just on top of it, and you're absolutely right. So what may happen is we may go into martial law. There may be another election. There may be a showdown. And to use Rich Sheban's terminology, this may go hot very quickly. And be what I've been talking about. And that's what I've been talking about. You've been talking about it with me on the air, that the second American Revolution combined with the second Civil War has already begun. And I absolutely positively believe it will escalate. And when will it escalate? I don't know exactly. But as we get closer toward the day when Jumpin' Joe the plagiarist says he wants the transfer of power. That's the word he used, transfer of power. Okay. Well, I think maybe leadership would be a little more polite, but that's the way those guys think. Power. They want power over us. And not everybody wants their brand of power. So I think it's going to get worse quickly. I have not changed my tune about that as well. But I appreciate your call, Gwyneth. Anything else?
No, that's fine. I'll let you get on with whatever you want to talk about. So, like I say, it's the sort of thing where I just, I had this dream, and it was just like Scarlet Pimpernel level, French Revolution level. And I had been watching the movie of Scarlet Pimpernel, but the fact that it found its way into my dream just like went boom, and then I woke up and I was just thinking of the White House press conference that he had. And it was just completely unreported, except on the Alex Jones show. To this extent, they reported it. Okay. Well, God bless.
See you next Wednesday.
Okay.
All right. That was Gwyneth Isaacs with that report, and it's pretty frightening. Back to you, Bert. You were going to interview me.
May we live in interesting times.
We certainly do. Frightening times, and gun sales are way, way, way up. Ammunition is getting harder and harder to get, if you can get it at all. People are worried everywhere.
Let's take a little bit of a turn and to another topic. What I thought we'd talk about, and a lot of the audience might be fascinated, is what it's like to move to a new town, really new part of the country, and buy some land and build your own home. I mean, that's fascinating. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, you and the missus and the family, you came over on the great stagecoach and got some Missouri farmland and built a new homestead, correct?
That's absolutely right. You know, Bert, we saw this coming around the end of the 90s. We saw that unrest was coming, and we lived on the East Coast, too close to Washington, D.C. And we saw that the police presence was getting stronger and stronger, and there were gauntlets, and I just didn't like it. And some people thought, well, that's good, you know, cops are stopping people and making sure they're not drunk, you know, while they're behind the wheel. Well, I didn't like the fact that they were stopping me and my family because I wasn't doing anything that was worthy of being stopped for. And as I saw more and more police presence and I saw more and more taxation, I saw more and more potential for unrest and violence, decided to get out of Dodge. So we lived on a farm in Virginia, and Mrs. Finelli and I got in the truck, and we drove around. We looked at maps first. We looked at where is a good place to live, and what are the criteria? Low taxes. Low taxes means low population. Low taxes means not a lot of services. Low taxes means probably no traffic lights, sidewalks, not police on every corner, not restaurants everywhere. Low taxes means freedom from government help, because you pay for that government help that you get, and then you get a small amount of what you pay for back in terms of sidewalks, water mains, sewers, you know, those kinds of things. So we drove around, and we looked for a place that didn't have electric substations, nuclear reactors, industrial waste, etc., that wouldn't be downwind from too many reactors, because they're everywhere, 104 reactors in this country. And we found that in rural Missouri. Low taxes, not a lot happening. And we found a place, 241 acres, and it had a small house on it at one time, and that burned down. So there was no house. And that was perfect for us, because the farm was run down. It was neglected for at least a couple decades. It was overgrown with saplings. And the price was relatively low because it took too much work to fix it up. So that's what we bought. And then we made our own mistakes, meaning we built our own house in exactly the location on that 241 acres that we wanted. We didn't buy someone else's mistakes. We made our own mistakes. Built the house exactly where we wanted on the land that we wanted. And it worked out okay. And you've been
here.
What
happened to the burnt down old house? Did you ever take away the debris?
Well, we didn't have to because it burned down. It burned down. And it probably burned down 15 or 20 years before we bought the place. So there's no really evidence of an old house being there, a small house, except for an old sidewalk, a walk from the road, the dirt road, probably 150 feet to the front door, where the front door of this house would have been. But there is a storm shelter built in the 1930s. And this storm shelter is, I think it's roughly 8 feet wide by 12 feet long. And it's kind of, it looks like a coffin. Looks like a coffin with the lid sticking out of the ground a little bit. And it's got a slanted door, like a Bilco, B-I-L-C-O door, you know, old basement door style. It's kind of slanted so the water will run off it. You lift up this wooden door and you jump in there and you wait till the tornado ends. And that's what it was. It's a tornado shelter. So that's probably probably the best description of our farm. Just half of it is woods and half of it is pasture. And it's fenced and cross-fenced. And we improved the land by mowing and mowing and mowing with a heavy-duty equipment. The mower that we bought to cut down those saplings is the kind that road crews use. It's 15 feet wide. It's called a bat wing, B-A-T, as in the animal, bat wing mower. And you pull it with a 100-horsepower tractor. And it'll mow down 6-foot trees. Any comments on that?
Very interesting. So, you raise cattle, and I'm going to guess that you plant some food there as well.
Oh yeah, we have we've built several gardens, and each time we build a garden, we make it bigger. So we have a garden for potatoes, we have a fenced-in garden. And it's probably 30-something feet wide by maybe 60-something feet long. And we fenced that in with cattle panels. And cattle panels are about 52 inches high. They're kind of a heavy fabric, roughly 4-inch by 6-inch squares of heavy welded wire. And they don't quite stand up by themselves. But if you made a circle with them, if you took three of them together and made like a circle, it would stand up by itself. But what we've done is we've driven in those green posts and attached, wired those cattle panels on the green posts. They're called fence posts. And that keeps most of the animals out of the garden, keeps the deer out. So, you know, we get to eat most of what we plant, tomatoes and peppers and et cetera. So, yeah, we have a garden. We raise our food and we raise cows. And the cows make more cows, and we save the seeds so that we can replant the same kind of plants that we took out of the garden last season. So we raise a lot of our own food, and we raise beef.
And I'm assuming that you're doing organic and sustaining fertilizing from other shows that I've listened to.
Yeah. We use we have a compost pile. And we use the cow manure, and we have equipment to spread the cow manure. So what we do is we let the cows poop, and then we spread it around as fertilizer. We'll be right back.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender.
and lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Kurt Pertonis is with us, and he's interviewing me, asking me questions about why we did certain things and how we did certain things. So I just described how we found our farm. And Mrs. Finelli and I got in the truck, and we drove about 20,000 miles. That's not an exaggeration. We looked everywhere. And, you know, first we started with the maps, and we looked at weather patterns, and we looked at tax structure. And then we made phone calls, and then we traveled to look at some of these farms. And we decided that the only way to do it for us was to build our own farmhouse, because we've never seen a house around here on the East Coast that was a used house that didn't have lots of mistakes. Lots of mistakes in plumbing, heating, electrical, location, well, whatever the property was, it was replete with mistakes. So we decided that we would take all of the knowledge that we've gained over the years of living in different houses and visiting people's homes, just as a normal course of living, that we would just put all that information together and make the best of the best decisions. And that's what we built. We built our own house.
So, Vince, let me ask you a really basic question. So you know you're going to move to this lot of property. You're going to build a nice house. Do you hire a home designer? Do you look on the internet for plans for a house the size you want? I know some people do that and buy the plans. Or do you just start putting up beams and figure it out as you go. And how do you start to build your home?
Okay. Well, the reason that there are building plans is typically, and you and I went to school with some architects, and we know how they studied, and we know how detailed and how time-consuming it is to make plans. Well, they are skilled in the understanding of dimensional lumber, stresses, loads, etc. And they know how to build and how to use materials that will withstand stresses and weather, etc. So it's clear to me that it makes the most sense to build from a set of plans. But what kind of plans? Well, I looked on the internet, and Mrs. Finelli and I probably bought 20 or 30 books, house plan books, and we looked at every single picture, every floor plan, and we didn't like any of them. There were some that, you know, were okay, but some of them were avant-garde. They were modern design. And the problem with a non-traditional design, a modern design, is they go out of style in about 10 years. So if you look at those houses that, you know, are built and you go, wow, that's a really neat design. That's, you know, up to the minute and styling. Well, you look at it 10 years from then and you go, wow, boy, it sure looks dated. Kind of like 1970s furniture, the oranges and the reds and the stripes. And you go, wow, why would anybody like that? But back in the 70s, it was in vogue, right? Well, we looked at lots of books, and ultimately we found a set of plans on the internet that we liked. And they were expensive. The plans were over $2,000 for this particular house. However, if you build a house, probably more like $2,500. I'll bet you it's $3,500 today for the plans for this house. I'm not exaggerating. And now, if you build, and our house is very complicated, class. Bert, how would you describe our house?
Very traditional. I mean, you go in the door and it's pretty obvious. You can go one direction and get to the kitchen. As I remember, the rooms were large and airy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have an attic. The roof is the ceiling. Okay, so our house is open. If you want to see what it looks like, class, I'm not going to give you exactly what it looks like, but I'll tell you this. If you go to your favorite search engine, you type in French farm house or French farm houses, you will see a bunch, probably a couple hundred images of French farmhouses. And what you'll see is very steep roofs, very steep. And you'll see exquisite design in terms of eye appeal. And you will see, when you look at the inside, you'll see that there are not a lot of rooms. There's big rooms, but not many of them. And our house is probably three country French farmhouses stuck together in different orientations. And it's very complex.
Big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Trump's election fraud claim gains more traction. Newly released security footage of State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia, shows that poll monitors and media were told counting was done and sent everyone home on election night. Four workers stayed behind to count ballots, at times pulling out numerous suitcases containing ballots from underneath desks.
Look at the ladies in yellow. You'll see that they will begin just sitting still, doing nothing, ostensibly not working, because after all, they said they're going to stop counting. They will wait until the witnesses over there in that roped-off area, the press and the observers, leave the room. Then you'll see them move into action and begin scanning ballots.
The video can be seen on YouTube. Governor Brian Kemp, the Georgia Republican, said Thursday that new testimony and these videos has raised additional questions and a signature audit should be performed. The votes were allegedly counted for hours with no election supervisors or monitors present. USA Radio News.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Did Communist China intentionally infect the world with coronavirus? USA Radio News Dan Araki looks into it.
The director of National Intelligence says that China's policies led to the worldwide coronavirus pandemic. In an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal, Director John Ratcliffe called China the greatest threat to American national security and said that the U.S. needs to take that threat more seriously. He tells CBS News that China's ruling party knew about the initial spread of the virus and chose to lie to the rest of the world about it.
The intelligence shows that the Chinese Communist Party's senior leaders, including President Xi, were aware and lied to the rest of the world about what they knew and when they knew it about COVID-19. They made the conscious decision to shut down their economy, to shut down their country, travel in and out of Wuhan where this originated, but they allowed travel from Wuhan to the rest of the world. They knew that, and they've taken advantage of that.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
The first China virus case in the United States was a Washington state man who became ill on January 19th after returning from Wuhan, China on January 15th. NASA officials are calling it the Great Conjunction, saying it won't be seen again until 2080. In fact, this is the first time since the Middle Ages the Christmas star will light up the sky on the winter solstice. From Earth's viewpoint, Jupiter and Saturn will be very close to one another and look like a double planet when they appear to nearly collide on December 21st, forming a rare phenomenon known as the Christmas star. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Well, keep it.
God,
you're
take my
when you go to
the
for
2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Bert, you touched on some very interesting points, and I mentioned taxes. And for a class, this may be new information to you, but here's how it works. Agricultural land is taxed at a different rate from residential land, which is taxed at a different rate from commercial land. So agricultural land is taxed at the lowest amount. Residential is much, much higher, maybe 50 times higher, 50 times higher. So the way the tax structure works here is, I mentioned 241 acres. So 240 acres is considered agricultural or farmland at the lowest tax structure in the county. Then the house sits on what the government says is 1 acre, and they tax us at easily 50 times more for that 1 acre than for any other acre of the 241 acres. Well, I've decided that, who do they think they are telling me that I live on 1 acre? Well, our house sits on probably half an acre. So I'm going to reduce that by 50%, that, you know, that high taxation rate. So what I'm saying is, if you look at how we live, and if you apply some of the principles, that, and it's in the tax code, they just don't tell you this is how to do it. You have to figure out for yourself this is how to do it. But what you can do is have a lot of land and have animals maintain that land for you. All you have to do is fence them in. So we maintain the fences. The cows maintain the fields, and they fertilize the fields organically. You know, they pee and poop on it. And then we spread that around with our tractors, and we have something called a chain harrow. Looks like a real heavy chain link fence, 10 feet by 10 feet. We pull it around with an antique tractor, a 1974 Ford 3000 tractor. And I pull it around and spread the manure around and fertilize the fields. So the whole point is we have, you know, a lot of land, per se, and the cows give us the tax deduction. The cows, when we sell them, they pay for the land and the taxes and the maintenance, and they give us a little money on the side, you know, on a good year. So that's how it works. We just play by the government's rules. Bert, back to you.
Yeah, so very interesting. So while you were talking, a call came into the panel with a question for you. You can decide if you want to answer it or not, but here it goes. Concrete slab or pier and beam foundation, which is better, and which one did you use for your house?
Neither.
Sure.
No, we use neither. Now, concrete slab is great, except it's cold. You know, if you live in a cold area, you're going to be conducting the heat away from the inside of the house into the ground. The ground is a huge heat sink. Huge. So unless you really insulate the concrete slab well, it's not suitable for where we are. If you have piers, that's great in some respects because you're off the ground, but then animals can get under there, and then you have to kind of insulate that. So what we did was we thought a basement was the way to go. Now, the two ways of building a basement that I can think of. One way is with concrete blocks, and you assemble them and mortar them together. And sometimes you fill those concrete blocks with vermiculite for insulation. Other times you fill them with concrete and rebar so they don't break. And other times you just leave them alone and just leave the voids as air insulation. We did neither of those. What we did was we dug down really deep. We excavated, and we poured a 2-foot-wide footer, 18 inches thick. And then we set concrete walls on top of the footer. Now, the concrete walls in our house are a foot thick. Now, typically, 8 inches is what most people do. Some go 10 inches. We went 12 inches. So we built, we have a basement, and the walls are a foot thick, and they're poured. So what happens is we built forms, and we tied all these forms together, and then we had many concrete trucks deliver the concrete and fill those forms that are 12 inches wide with concrete. That's how we did it.
So let me ask an obvious question, and I'm sure it's been solved because so many homes with basements. But how do you keep the center of the home from collapsing into the basement? What do you use to support all that weight in the center portions of the home?
Okay, typically a home can, if you notice, homes will have walls about around 15 feet apart, typically at the maximum. And that's because many homes used 2x12 or 2x10 dimensional lumber as floor joists, and they're 16 feet long. So if you have a 6-inch overlap or 6 inches on the wall on the outside, you have lally columns in the basement supporting the other end, which would give you about a 15-foot space for each room. typically maximum. We didn't do that. What we did was we used what's called I-joists. Now, I-joists are structurally engineered, and you can span about 32 feet with an I-joist without any support in the basement at all.
Wow.
No support. Yeah. So that's what we have.
Yeah. No
what it really is a combination of plywood and oriented strand board, OSB, with plywood on the top and bottom. And it's very, very strong when it's in place. It's really weak while it's being assembled. So it's a great, great way to go, I think. So that's what we used.
It can steel be used, or is that just too expensive?
Absolutely.
Planning.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, initially, I was going to use a webbed steel for the trusses, and I decided not to because of cost. And I thought that, you know, we have a lot of beams in this house, a lot of I-beams. But we don't have any steel. And you can use something else. Let's see. It's a laminate product. It's called LVL. LVL. And you can go a really long span. And it takes the place of a steel I-beam. So you can do that. So we have some of those as well. But in terms of our garage, in terms of our basement, it's all clear span. No supporting walls anywhere in the basement nor in the garage. So we have a garage that will support, you put three cars in the garage, and there's not a single post anywhere inside, you know, the four walls.
And I'm assuming the garage is built on a concrete slab.
Well, actually, yeah, that's kind of, I engineered that. We raised the whole house up so that we could put an automotive shop in our house. So we have a three-car garage in the house as part of the house. And so at ground level, you drive into one of three garage doors. And I wanted to put an automotive lift in one of those bays. Now, in order to do that, it's recommended that you have 4 inches of concrete with rebar in order to set these automotive lift posts. And the kind we have is made by Rotary. That's the brand, Rotary. And I didn't think 4 inches was anywhere near sufficient. So I put under the area where the lift posts are, I excavated some more, dug it out to 12 inches thick, and I put more rebar in it. So that area of the garage floor is 12 inches thick, which is unheard of.
Wow.
Also, I did something else. I knew that we were going to have compressed air. And I ran under the garage floor pipe, 3/4 inch pipe, so that I could have compressed air outlets popping up, you know, every 12 feet or so. So I've got compressed air with industrial quick connect fittings, you know, coming out of the concrete about 2 feet up in the air off the floor. And so I've got compressed air everywhere in the garage.
So that's really almost a auto service shop.
No, it is. It absolutely is an automotive service shop. It's got, you know, a workbench, a really heavy-duty workbench. It's got industrial lighting, compressed air. It's got everything you could possibly want. A liquid parts washer for, you know, cleaning dirty, grimy parts in solvent with a fireproof lid. It's a real automotive shop. It's the same thing that you might find at a garage, you know, where you have your car worked on.
Do any of the neighbors come over to use it or to have you help them?
Well, we've got some policies here. We don't let other people use our equipment. And it's not because, well, it's because they don't have that equipment. And if they don't have it, they don't know how to use it. And if they don't know how to use it, they can break it. So
yeah.
we'll do it for them. And we have become the go-to guys for having tractors worked on. It seems that there aren't many people that know how to do these things anymore. So if it comes to fixing the braking system of a tractor, you know, the hydraulic brakes or the electrical system or the hydraulic lift system or the engines, the diesel engines, or cars or trucks. I mean, that's what we have become lately, a shop that does that. And because I found that I can't find anybody that knows how to mount or balance tires. I bought a used tire balancing machine, and I bought a used tire mounting machine. So we have all of the things that a tire shop would have, and all of the things that a automotive shop would have, the presses, the lathes, all of that. So it's all here in the house.
Wow. I assume the lift can handle a tractor then.
Well, the problem with the tractors are tall. But a typical truck isn't that tall. But this lift will lift up 10,000 pounds. It's rated 10,000 pounds.
So not quite an A1 M1.
No. you can't put a tank in here. But it will lift a dually pickup truck, which is considered a pretty heavy pickup truck. And you know what's interesting? We have a vehicle on the lift almost all the time. Literally, there's something that we're working on that's on the lift. And it's really nice. And, so what does a lift cost? Maybe that's an interesting question. Well, we paid about $3,000 for our lift. And there are a lot of Chinese manufactured lifts. I'm not going to get under one that's made in China. So our lifts are made, it's a U.S. company. It's probably the finest automotive lift ever made. And it's made by a company called Rotary. And if you go to Walmart and you have them work on your vehicles, they probably have Rotary lifts there. And it truly is the best. And the best only costs maybe 15% more than one that's just okay. So there's no reason to get one that's not the best, especially if you're going to stand under it.
Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting. And I assume you have power backup, so if there's any interruption, you can handle with your on-site generators to keep everything going.
Well, we have a solar system, and we have a huge battery bank. It's about our battery bank would not fit in a pickup truck, nor would a pickup truck be able to hold the weight of it. It weighs about 4,400 pounds. I'm guessing it's about a little more than 8 feet long, about 4 feet wide, and about 3 feet tall. That is the size of our battery bank. And we have the inverter, and we have the charge controllers and the solar panels to power all the farm. And the automotive shop is powered by a solar system, including the compressor. Wow, this time is going really fast.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Kurt Bertonis is with us. He's in California. And he's interviewing me about how we've done things here in Missouri, making our own mistakes rather than buying into someone else's mistakes. Bert, back to you.
Yeah, so getting a little bit into kind of my wheelhouse with electronics, how soon do you start planning for the wiring? And I'm just going to throw out there, I can see, you know, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 different types of wiring that you might want to use. Obviously, your 110-volt power. Then we have Ethernet, so you might want to put Cat5 or Cat6 cabling through. Then, you know, maybe home security for your alarm systems and cameras, sensors. And maybe I'll throw out there low-voltage wiring for low-voltage. So how soon do you start planning for that? And you just put in some conduits so you can run things in the future, or you just put a lot of wires in to start with? How do you start thinking and planning and doing that when constructing your home?
Okay, the answer is all the above. And so here's what we did. I bought a book, and I recommended it, our number one. It's the Black & Decker home wiring book, and it's the it's available on eBay. It's like $5 and change. It's called the Black & Decker Complete Guide to Home Wiring. They have another one for plumbing, and I suggest you get both of them. So for a little over $5 shipped, you can get one. And I just bought another one this morning so that I could give it as a gift. It'll be used, but it's still the best book on home wiring. So in that book, it will teach you how you run wires, low voltage, high voltage, Ethernet, all of it. And so what we did here at the farmhouse is once we had the studs in place, now there would be the interior and the exterior studs, then what we did was we figured out how we would be using those rooms. Okay, where the furniture would be, where the stereo speakers would be, where the lighting fixtures in the ceiling would be, etc. And then what you do is you nail the boxes, the electrical boxes on the wall. And I bought like 100 of one particular size wall outlet, wall switch box. And I bought the deep ones. You can buy the small 18 cubic inch, or you can buy ones that are a little bit bigger, and there's a lot more room in the bigger ones. So the bigger ones are going to cost you 30 or 40% more, but it's well worth it when you go to wiring. So here's what we did. I made a stick, and I said, okay, I put a piece of a mark on the stick. Think of it like a yardstick. And I said about 18 inches or so, I'm sorry, about 12 inches off the bottom of the stick would be where I would drill the holes for running the wire through the studs. At 18 inches would be the center line of the box for a wall outlet. And at 48 inches would be the center line of the switch boxes for light switches. And then my son and I nailed and screwed these blue plastic boxes wherever we thought we should have receptacles and switches. And we thought, okay, where are the lights going to be? So at night, while the house was studded, we would hang can lights at night to see what it would look like, how the lighting pattern would be. So we put these lights exactly where we thought they should go for our lifestyle. You know, meaning, where do you put the lights above the counter in the kitchen? Do you put them above the counter? Do you put them back, you know, 3 feet from the wall? Well, you'll get shadows. So we experimented with that, and we figured out the best place for the lighting. And then, so the plan is, you nail the boxes on the wall first. Then you run the wires. But what about the things that you mentioned, like low voltage? Each room in our house has two RG59U, which is coaxial cable for cable TV / video signaling, two in every room. And in that same outlet box is a pair of Ethernet Cat5e cables and probably two telephone cables, which is four conductor, red, green, yellow, and black insulation on the telephone wire. So we have low voltage, we have Cat5e for the Ethernet, we have coaxial for video signaling, cameras and things like that if we want to put them in, and Ethernet. And of course we have the receptacles for wiring. Now, how often do you put those boxes for 120-volt wiring? Well, there's a code for that. You can buy the code book, and it'll tell you, or you can read the Black & Decker manual, and it will tell you about every 2 feet on counter space in the kitchen, or about every 6 feet on a wall. And then what you do is you figure out where you're going to put what furniture you have, or what furniture you might have, and you make sure you have enough receptacles. It's as easy as that. Then later on, you run the wire. But what we didn't talk about was sub-panels and a distribution system. And so we did that. We don't have home runs everywhere. We have sub-panels all over the place. Probably seven of those.
We can talk about that another episode.
Okay, well, if you want to do it in a couple of weeks, let me know. And we can talk about, you know, detailed wiring. That's something we'd like to talk about.
Sounds great. Right. Thanks.
Hey, well, thank you. Gosh, this hour went really fast. Jeez. Bert, thanks so much for calling in and interviewing me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Class will be back next week.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.